This conference is being recorded.
Thank you. We're crossing over to the other side. I thank you for joining us for 6 a.m. prayer. This is Pastor Wanda Marie Bailey, and we are crossing over to the other side. I tell you, I know you are. I promise you, you are. You may not feel it. You may not know it. You may not be seeing the change, but I'm seeing it. I'm feeling it. I'm knowing it. We're crossing over. Where are we crossing over to? The land of victory. Oh, yeah, the land where we can take back from the place that the enemy has stolen. We're crossing over. I know for maybe years you might have heard other leaders say, well, we're in the land of Canaan. We're going into Canaan. But I promise you, this is the season. God said, he told me, this is the year of training, the year of instruction. One of my teachers, Dr. Murdoch, he confirmed it. He calls it the year of instruction. That's the same, the year of training. And because you're coming to your post where you can be trained, I don't know where that is. I know for those who are supposed to be on this morning prayer, there's training for you here. But I don't know all the other training that God has for you. But this is the year of training. This is the year of instruction. So why? So that we can know what to do, when to do, and how to do it as we take back from the enemy. I give you praise today, God. I praise your son Jesus, and I bless your Holy Ghost. I praise him for being in this prayer, for being in control of the tongue of my mouth. He says my tongue is like the tongue of a ready writer, that it is my tongue that speaks and his power does it. I praise you for the power of the living God today. I praise you for all of these souls, God. I praise you for the wealth. You say the souls are the wealth. I praise you that you, oh God, have gathered the wealth unto me today. You've gathered your wealth, God, that they would hear, hallelujah, that they would come and stand with me as we exalt you, as we praise you, as we worship you, as we pray, as we speak your word with power. Hallelujah. Love. Hallelujah. Sound mind. Hallelujah. I thank you, God. I thank you. I thank you even for the technology that you give me, God, that allows me to communicate to the people, to speak your word, God, to the people, God, and to record it even, Father God, so that people can play the prayers and the teachings back, Father God, so that they can drown in your word, because that is what you spoke to me, that we should be drowning in your word, that your word should be consuming us, God, that if your word would consume us, the enemy cannot consume us. I thank you, God. I thank you for every soul that wakes up and pushes past the sleep, past that thing that comes upon them that tries to make them say, I don't want to be listening to this prayer. Push, that is the flesh and the devil pressing, putting pressure on our flesh to keep us from being in the place where we can be taught, to keep us from being in the place where we are trained, to keep us from being in the place where we can exalt you and lift you up and receive our food for today, God. I thank you that the people, you strengthen your people in our spirits. Our spirits are strong in the Lord. You strengthen our souls to want to hear you and be in the presence of God. You strengthen us in our inner being, God, so that we can get here. So just like we run to get the bus because we know if we miss the bus, we're going to be late for work. Just like we run to make an appointment for something that is important to us, we have chosen to sacrifice this time to you, God, because this is important to you. Hallelujah. I ask you, God, to send your spirit out over the highways and the byways, God, to people in their beds, to people coming getting off work, to people at work, wherever they are, and give them a passion and a desire. Stir up that desire to come to 6 a.m. prayer, God, that they may be fed. Jesus said one thing is needful, and that is the word. And many of us have good intentions about, oh, okay, I'm going to spend time in prayer today. I'm going to set some time aside for God today. I'm going to read the word today. I'm going to, what I don't understand, I'm going to go back to the Holy Ghost and ask for understanding. I'm going to seek out these things. Many of us say that, God, but we don't get it done. And so we need you to help us to get it done. And you help us. You help me, God. I rejoice, God, because now you've changed. You've changed my assignment. Now I'm up at 3 o'clock because you spoke to me the other day. You said 3 o'clock is the first fruit. You're talking to me so much about this first fruit, God, the first fruit. And many of us think it's just money, but it's not just money. And so you spoke to me. You said I was listening to a program, God, and you said that the 3 o'clock time is the beginning of the day for you in man's life. And if I want to give you the first fruit, then I have to get up at 3 o'clock and begin my prayer. You know what, God? I was so excited. I was so excited because I realized that for months you've been trying to get me to start praying at 3 o'clock. I wake up at 2:30, quarter to 3, and can't get back to sleep and just be so mad about what was going on. But I didn't make the connection because that's the flesh. But you were telling me that you wanted me to start praying to you at 3 o'clock in the morning. Because, see, there's something about how God penetrates us in our minds while we're sleeping. He penetrates us in our spirits while we're sleeping. He penetrates us in our souls while we're sleeping. And so when you rise and you pray so early in the morning with God, there is just a clarity in the air. It's almost like the devil is sleeping, but he can't be sleeping. But there is such a clarity in the air. There's a clarity in the spirit. There's a clarity in the place of God. And I told God, when he told me that, I said, God, I need more of you. I need more of you for myself, and I need more of you for these people that you're bringing, God. I was excited. There was not a rebellious spirit in me. There was not a rebellious thing in my flesh. There was nothing in my flesh that said it didn't want to do it. I was excited. I rose even earlier than 3 this morning because I was just excited to be there with you. I ask you to forgive me for the length of time that it took me to understand what you were telling me to do, because my flesh, of course, it didn't even want to do 4. How could I even conceive of 3? And even before 4 o'clock, when you were telling me to get up at 6, my flesh didn't even want to do 6. But see, you do that thing, God. Line up on line, precept upon precept. First 6, then 4, then 5, then 4, now 3. Which is where you wanted me to be. Hallelujah. See, we would shorten our the seasons that we go through of hard times if we would obey you, wouldn't we? We would shorten those times when it seems like we're just not seeing what we're supposed to be seeing and things aren't happening if we would learn to obey you from the first. If I would have learned to just go on and get up at 3 o'clock, a whole lot of things would have been shortened, wouldn't it? But I thank you, God, that you teach us obedience is better than sacrifice. See, you don't have to figure it out. All you have to do is obey. Obey God when he speaks to you directly. Obey the leader that God has set over you. That might not be. You got to understand something about obeying leaders. You got a lot of leaders in your life. Like many people who are on this prayer right now, I'm not their direct pastor, but in this thing, I am their pastor. In this thing, I am the leader. When I do fast, God, when you speak to me, you tell me, go fast with this church, go fast with that leader. I have to submit under the way they do it. For that fast, that leader is my leader. I thank you, God, that you teach us your wisdom, that you give us your wisdom. You said, I give it to you if you ask. But you must ask for God's wisdom. And I ask for your wisdom all the time because I don't know this stuff, God. I read the Bible, but it's not altogether clear to me. But your Holy Spirit, who is the revealer of all truth, makes it clear. Hallelujah. And so I thank you, God. I thank you for all these that you have brought. I thank you that we come before you, God. I thank you for the praise that you are developing in us. Yes, you even teach us how to praise you. The praise you're developing in our bellies. The praise that you're developing in our souls. The praise. Hallelujah. And so we thank you, God, that we are now at this place where we have asked you to teach us, hallelujah, how to receive. How to master receiving and master giving. Hallelujah. How to master it, God. I thank you for every person who went back and listened to the prayer and the teaching from Wednesday so that they would be prepared for the teaching today. I thank you for every person, God, who took notes as I prayed on Wednesday, and as I taught through the prayer on Wednesday, because that's primarily how I do it. I pray and I teach through prayer. And I thank you, God. Oh, yes, I go and give sermons. I go and stand as most pastors do before the pulpit. But my primary teaching happens through prayer because the Holy Ghost has got my tongue. And I don't even know. I have to go back and listen to the services. I have to go back and listen to the prayers because I don't even know half the time, most of the time, what I'm saying because my tongue is the tongue as a ready writer and the Holy Ghost puts the word on my tongue. So I thank you for every person, God, who is taking, who really desires to want to learn how to receive, who understands that they don't know how to receive, that because I know I understand it, God, and in this year, you are saying there are big spoils coming, even as we did the 7 days of praise, and we saw, you said spoils for days. There are big spoils coming, but we must learn how to receive those spoils. And so, God, I thank you for every person who takes that word seriously and who understands that it's a priority in their day. It's a priority. It's a priority. Not your job. Not this. Not that. No. But understanding how to receive the spoils is the priority. Because, God, the banks, they're going down. What are you going to do then when you can't cash that paycheck? What are you going to do when that paycheck is not worth anything? The banks are going down. The credit unions are going down. The debit card companies and the credit card companies are going down. There are the financial institution of the United States and this world is going down. What are your people going to do then? How are they going to receive what they need to live and to thrive? How are they going to receive what they need to give so that they can continue to receive and be blessed? This is a serious business. Don't for one minute think, Father God, that we are not taking this seriously. This is serious business. For I will not be abandoned, and neither will these. I will not live in lack. And neither will these. I will not be starving, and neither will these. When the world is living in famine, we will live in wealth. But we must put some time and effort toward learning how to do it. We must make it a priority. It must be the priority, not all this stuff we do during the day. We get off the prayer and we say, yeah, I'm going to listen to this prayer again. And then 24 hours roll around and we missed it. This is a priority. We will not starve. Our families will not starve. We will be those children that you speak of in the Old Testament, where the world will come and say, we're going to grab hold to your coattail and go with you because we know that you have a relationship with the Father. We know that God is with you and we're going to go with you. It's going to be like the children of Israel when they were in Egypt, God, and you sent Moses. And you sent all those plagues by the word of Moses. And those Egyptians that obeyed and did what the children of Israel did, they were not plagued. Like the children of Israel were protected, those Egyptians were protected. The Bible reveals that. Because they grabbed hold to the coattails of the Israelites and said, we're going to do what you do because we see that God is with you. I decree, God, that the people of this world in this time will grab hold to our coattails as we learn how to receive and give. And they will say, we are going to go with you. The land is in famine. And we, the only way we can keep from starving is to do it the way you do it, is to go with you as you seek your God. We'll be like, like Naomi and Ruth, who said, your God is my God. Where you go, your people are my people. Hallelujah. That's what the people of the world will be saying, God. But we must put in the due diligence. Like you do due diligence if you're buying a business. And you put your effort toward making sure you study it. You study to show yourself approved, to make sure you understand everything about that business. We're going to study to make sure we understand everything about giving and receiving. We're going to become masters at giving and receiving, God. And you, Holy Ghost, are going to help us. You, Holy Ghost, are going to guide the way. You, Holy Ghost, are going to point us in the direction that we should go. You, Holy Ghost, are going to correct us. Yes, you are, because we don't have it right. Because if that was the case, we'd be in a much better place than we are now. I thank you, Holy One, that when I talk to you and asked you, what should I study in preparation for this prayer? You turned me to Genesis chapter 22. You took me there. And for those who might have their Bibles, please go there. Genesis chapter 22. And I read this few little scriptures here, and you just burst this thing open in me. I'm going to read verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Understand, when God teaches you, you're going to be tested. I don't care whether you've heard that God doesn't test or whatever. I don't know what you've heard. But when God teaches you something, whatever it is he has taught you, you're going to be tested. He's going to hold you accountable for it. You are going to be tested. Make no mistake, just like you get tested with a final exam if you're in school. And this prayer and study that we do helps prepare you for the test. But God is going to test you. He tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, he called his name. Now, Abraham had to hear him, didn't he? Abraham had to hear God call his name. If you're not able to hear God, you need to work on that. Abraham had to hear God. That's the first thing you got to hear. You got to hear God call you. And you got to not harden your heart so you don't want to hear God. Oh, yeah, I know there are things we harden our heart about because we don't want to hear God. God is calling you, but you don't want to hear him. Or you got all these reasons why. Father God, I rebuke and curse these reasons that we come up with why we can't hear you. Because you said, my sheep know my voice. If you're saved, if you belong to God, he says you know his voice. Now, the question is, if you're not hearing him, why not? It's not because of God. He says, my sheep know my voice. Abraham knew his voice. He heard him say, Abraham. Abraham said, here I am. Then in verse 2, then God said, now listen to this. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Now, I stopped right there with the Holy Ghost because he started running the word down to me so fast. But I'm going to give you what he has given me to say today. He told Abraham to take his son, his only son, Isaac. Now, understand, that was not Abraham's only son in the natural, was it? But you see, God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac. God totally ignores what we think is important. He will go deal with that thing because we found in the scripture that when Abraham prayed to God, oh God, please have some, do something for Ishmael, God did it. But as far as God was concerned, his focus is on what God thinks is important. And God said Isaac was Abraham's only son, though we all know that Abraham had a natural son by another woman. Now, how does that fit in your, in my situation? Father, help us. Help us to understand how this word fits. Because Isaac was the son of the promise. Isaac was the son that you gave Abraham, that you said you would give him. God, you have given us that you said you would give us. Oh, we got a lot of things, God. We've got a lot of things. But only a few of them you said you would give us. We got things like Abraham has got, God. Oh, yes, we do. That you never said we were supposed to have. That you never said we were supposed to do. That you never gave us. But we have a few things that you said, I have given you this. And you said to Abraham, take your only son Isaac, whom you love. Father, the things that you give us, we're supposed to love above everything else. Abraham loved his son Isaac, but he also loved his son Ishmael. But God said, your only son Isaac, whom you love. See, as far as God is concerned, as far as you're concerned, Father, when you give us stuff, it is the whom it is from your perspective. That's what we're supposed to love above everything else. When you give us, I'm not talking about cars and homes and this and that, no. But I'm talking about the relationship between Abraham and Isaac, the promise, the all that is behind what God is calling Isaac to be for Abraham. That God loved Abraham so much that he gave him a son of promise, and that this is whom Abraham is to love. Now, listen to this. When God gives you whatever it is that he gives you, he said, and I'm not talking about material things. He is looking at it as that you value. Now he tells Abraham to go to some place in Moriah, but he doesn't even tell Abraham where specifically to go then. and you're going to sacrifice that I have given you, that you love, you're going to sacrifice it on a burnt, as a burnt offering. Now, I found out this week that when God called that thing, and please mute your phone, dial *6 to mute your phone, or press your mute button. When God called Abraham to go and take a burnt offering, the Hebrew calls that the first fruit. The King James Version calls it a burnt offering, but the Hebrew translates that word as the first fruit offering. Now, why is that important? Because this son whom God gave Abraham to love, and God loved him so much, God loved Isaac, yes, so much, he called him his only son. His only son. Why is God making this emphasis on your only son? What does that sound like? Do you remember how God called Jesus his only son? His only son. God's making emphasis here. And he tells Abraham to sacrifice his only son. And the Hebrew records that word of burnt offering as the first fruit. What is God telling Abraham? Take your only son, who I call the first fruit, and put it on the altar of sacrifice. This is what God is telling Abraham, to take his only son, who is the first fruit, make him a first fruit offering, and sacrifice him. This is very, very deep. Because as God showed me, I'm going to translate this real quick for you. The thing that God told me, he said, because I've asked him, God, why this emphasis on money? He said, because to my people, money is more important to them than anything else. And I'm going to teach my people how to let me be more important to them than anything else. And so I'm constantly teaching my people how to separate themselves from the love of money. The love of money. Just like God says, take your son, your only son whom you love. He says, take that money, the money that you love, and sacrifice it. Give it as a burnt offering. Give it as a first fruit. We're talking about giving, mastering giving. We're talking about mastering giving. Oh, we're going to go deeper into this. This is just the beginning, because this thing is opening up so big. I encourage you to listen to the playback of this prayer and this teaching. I encourage you to listen to it every day. When we don't pray tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, when we don't pray corporately, you go and dial the playback number and listen to this teaching. And be prepared for the teaching we do on Monday morning at 6 a.m. This is powerful. If you start taking these words in and meditating on these words, you will be set free from the love of money, so that you can learn how to give, how to master giving and receiving. I thank you, Holy One, for this prayer and this teaching. I thank you for every soul that came to listen. I thank you for those that were not here but will come to the playback to hear this teaching. I thank you that we will master giving and receiving, so that when the world system, the economic system of the world falls down, we will do more than survive. We will thrive. I thank you, God, that you are separating us from the love of money. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.